You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Mark Anderson, the roving editor for American Free Press, who right now is live in Chantilly, Virginia. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Glad to be here. Very busy place.
Tell the listeners what's happening with Bilderberg.
May 31, Wednesday, the black sedan started rolling in. The only thing darker than them is the personalities inside of them. And they were greeted by very boisterous protesters, numbering about 200 on a very sunny day. And they would yell, "Incoming, incoming," as the ubiquitous black cars would roll up. And they're going into this Westfields Marriott near Dulles Airport at Chantilly, Virginia. And that is easily one of the most easy hotels to segregate. In other words, to keep away from the public view and the view of the eyes of cameras.
Right.
So unlike Switzerland and Spain in the last 2 years, this is a very tough one to photograph in terms of members of the Bilderberg Conference being on the grounds and getting photos of notable members, power brokers from around the world and the United States. So there's a great challenge for media and for the protesters in that the security perimeter is very tight, though the cops are standoffish. But at the same time, the passion is higher here than at Spain and Switzerland the last couple of years, even though the number of protesters so far is a tad lower, but they're making up for it with the sheer passion of their message that they don't want this kind of secret rule going on behind the throne. And I'm sure the numbers of protesters will grow today, June 1, even though inclement weather is predicted a little bit later today, but we'll see.
Okay.
Jim Tucker and I and our videographers, Josh Harvey and his partners, we were out there as much as we could and also throughout the community distributing copies of American Free Press. We've been alerting media. It's just busy to try and break through the media logjam, the notorious U.S. media blackout regarding Bilderberg. Of course, the European press is much more open. So the major goal, at least a major goal, is to erode that U.S. media logjam, that blackout that's been going on for way too long regarding Bilderberg.
Right. I was on a website earlier and I saw an interview with one of these talking heads, last name O'Donnell. I don't even know what his first name is, but pretty much just completely discounting secret societies, the Bilderberg, any of these groups. So, yeah, that probably will be something difficult. And didn't they just recently, the mainstream media, just acknowledge that Bilderberg and these secret societies even exist, right?
Fairly recently, we were glad to see the Washington Times on 31 of May have a front page story. And it was part skepticism toward Bilderberg, but it didn't go so far as to say that this is, you know, illicit or evil or anything. But it did treat it as a very notable curiosity. And some of the names that are there or traditionally are there. We'll see how some of the network affiliates do today and other media that have been contacted, both national and local and regional and across the board, really, again, to break this U.S. media blackout piecemeal or hopefully all at once here in 212. It's high time that that happens.
Right, exactly. And I see there were already arrests made there. Were you there when that happened?
No, I am not aware myself of any specific arrests. We were there about 3 hours yesterday, and the protesters were very boisterous, but ultimately they obeyed the police boundaries. There was a little bit of bleeding over the line, but the police were grim, though tolerant. They put up more orange plastic barriers that resemble those cement ones that go alongside the road and go alongside driveways, that kind of thing. Henry Kissinger appeared to arrive, as far as we could tell, at 4:25 p.m., and James Wolfensohn, I believe is his name, a former World Bank official, I think.
Right.
He got there about 30 minutes later. In terms of anyone we could actually recognize, a few of them didn't have the notorious tinted windows. It's a very passionate gathering, and we'll see how it goes today. Of course, they've been meeting since 1954, and the U.S. media blackout with only minor variations has been going on for that long. So this is no small thing to get around this media blackout.
Amazing. And James Wolfensohn was the 9th president of the World Bank. He stepped down, I guess, in 2005. I'm looking on it right now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm glad you had that at your fingertips. That's right. And so, you know, we have more of this rule from behind the throne. WorldNet Daily did a very respectable report, among others. So we'll see how the media treats this alternative as well as so-called mainstream media. Another interesting thing I'll note is that the new technology that's out there, and a lot of protesters are out there telling me about this, it shows that the line between an activist and a journalist is getting paper thin now. Journalists are essentially activists, and activists are journalists, and they're telling me about this new Verizon hotspot, something called the Jetpack. Now you have citizen journalists that can put real-time video online. If the old guard media doesn't want to respond, then they can just be consigned to a relevance.
Right. Now, I saw that Alex Jones was there. Have you seen him?
Oh, yeah. He got here early, maybe not as early as we did initially, but he's been at some local eateries and places where Jim and I have been, Jim Tucker and I, exchanging notes and observations. And he had his bullhorn there yesterday, which he's notorious for, of course. And he caused quite a stir in some of the things he said, talking about the mass genocide that Bilderberg members are linked to through their associations, through the institutions that they're influential in, NATO, major banks, major corporations, whatever the case might be, really nailing them to the wall verbally in terms of their genocide, their perpetual war policies, and their war against the 99%, against the middle class, those sorts of comments from Alex and from many others.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking on Wikipedia, and it's interesting because I looked up Chantilly, Virginia to find out exactly where it's located, and it says it's approximately 24 miles from Washington, D.C. And right in the beginning of this article, it says Chantilly was also home to the annual Bilderberg Summit in 2008 and 2012.
And also, according to Jim Tucker's noted book, The Bilderberg Diaries, which you can, of course, order through American Free Press's affiliate, First Amendment Books, they also met there in 2002. It would appear that this is the third time they're at Chantilly, and as I noted earlier, it's probably the best hotel they could choose to segregate themselves from the rest of society. Thick woods around the whole place. It's kind of like on a land island, and it's kind of like its own little country club type thing. And there's no hills or perches, and the security can easily keep even the sneakiest photographers out, unlike Spain and Switzerland, where you had all sorts of nooks and plateaus and hills, and you could look down upon them. Not the case here.
Wow, amazing. I just think it's significant that out of all the things that can be said about Chantilly, Virginia, that one of the most important is that it's home to the annual Bilderberg Summit. Incredible.
Yeah, that is right up front. They call the Bilderberg conferences secret. I use the word secretive. They're not totally secret anymore. And as I've noted about NATO coverage and their affiliates at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, they don't even really keep their agenda that secret anymore. It's like the Sherlock Holmes paradox. They hide it out in the open. Moriarty, Holmes' nemesis, would hide clues in the open. They just hope that people won't pay attention, and they use kind of amorphous language, words that mean a thousand different things. So they kind of use what I call globalese, their world government language, mm-hmm. that sounds good on the surface, but you can read it two different ways.
Right. Now, what's on the agenda for today?
For us as a news team?
For Bilderberg and you.
Their exact agenda is always not a precision science. There's no doubt that on past precedent and based on the NATO summit, which is, of course, kind of cross-pollinated with Bilderberg due to all the interlocking associations, I'm sure that the financial crisis in Europe, there's a pending vote, I don't have it in front of me, in Ireland on whether Ireland would become more locked into the euro and the eurozone. There's, of course, the sudden and very convenient increase in killings in Syria, where God knows who's really behind them. And the heat really got turned up there right before the Bilderberg meeting. So Iran and Syria, of course, I've been in their crosshairs as we've published that story about the seven nations on the globalist hit list.
Right.
Syria and Iran have yet to be attacked by the global imperial army that NATO leads. There's Afghanistan and our withdrawal policy that relates to all that. And the European crisis trying to keep their eurozone from falling apart are no doubt going to be hot topics. And Jim Tucker, of course, will be giving podcasts, and he can give more insight into those aspects.
Okay. And of course, last year, the Bilderberg group met in St. Moritz, Switzerland, June
Correct.
9 to 12. And what was on their agenda last year, and I'll go through this very quickly because it's probably very similar to what's going to happen this year. The Middle East, what does democracy mean? Emerging economies, roles and responsibilities, economic and national security in a digital age, technological innovation, Western economies, stagnation or promise, the appetite for reform, can governments deliver? Switzerland, can it remain successful in the future? European Union's challenges, a sustainable euro, implications for European economies, China's domestic challenges, China's regional and global challenges, connectivity and the diffusion of power, current conflict areas, and demographic stresses. So I imagine that things that happened last year are happening this year too, so they might have a similar itinerary.
That would be a very fair assumption because those are very broad, evolving topics for the most part. For instance, at many NATO-related meetings that I attended by the local Global Affairs Council, they talked a lot about containing China, NATO moving east. There's a lot of this kind of dual talk about China. On the one hand, they aid China in many ways economically, and then they turn around and say they're an underhanded ally of North Korea, and they're maybe fairly warm with Iran, and there's that kind of duality about China. Yeah, those broad topics, I'm sure, carry over years in advance, maybe not just one year.
When are you going to head out there too? And how far away are you from?
Oh, I'm just a couple miles. miles away here, it's a very difficult situation in that there's not even a place to park your car near the Bilderberg meeting without having to walk a considerable distance. Another reason they chose this location for the third time, apparently. It creates a lot of logistical problems. And if you put your car any place even slightly off, they'll just tow it away. They've blocked off all possible parking, so people have to shuttle themselves out there and have someone drive the car back. It's a bit of a mess, but yeah, we're close. We'll be heading out there within the hour to meet Jim Tucker and then go from there. Hopefully the weather will hold and we'll see who else we can confirm as having attended this year.
That's great, Mark. Looking forward to our next update. Hopefully we'll talk to you in a little bit after the activities today, and when things settle down, maybe we can get you back on the line and you can give us another update.
Yeah, me and Jim will help you out later. We'll do another update today, I'm sure, and we'll take you through the weekend as best we can.
Sounds great, Mark. I appreciate your time.
Sure.